Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josiah Sanato.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 221. I'm Josiah Sanato for the villain on Twitter at comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? How's it going? This week I'm recording live from San Diego. I'm covering this weekend San Diego Comic-Con 2018. Today is a Wednesday, the 18th, and I'm recording live from my hotel room of all fucking places. Who records in the most random places? This guy. So yeah, I have a lot to go through. I had dinner not too long ago, got back to the hotel, picked up some fucking beer, went to some spot called Mr. Peabody's. And met some dude named Nick there. I had some sliders there. The food was great. The beers were fucking dope. And it's just like a kind of dope little hole-in-the-wall place, but like high-end. And I spent like $21. I left the $6 tipped. So if you guys have listened to Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes tipping, like I think I left a good one. But it was good. Homeboy was cool. Nick was cool dude. His lady that is his ex that is now his girlfriend again was a bitch. I mean, that's the nicest way I can say how I felt about her. And she just gave me bitch face straight up. She's like, oh, this is Josiah. And it's like, oh, she just looks at me like, I'm like, oh, you're one of those bitches straight up. Okay, cool. But no, Nick was fucking cool, down to earth. Nick, I'm sorry, dude, you're never going to listen to this podcast anyways. But yeah, so now I'm back in the hotel and winding down and I'm ready to run and gun an episode of the Comic Snicket for you guys. I'm going to start off because I have a lot of stuff to talk about and get into. First thing I'm going to hit is going to be what we spoke about, Adam and I, 100 episodes, which constitutes 2 years ago. Episode 121, Adam and I, entitled hashtag Runaway Train, at Mem the Bean Run at For the Villain, play catch up, and then hit Christmas chat, hashtag NFL Week 15 and Week 16 predictions, along with hashtag the Comic Syndicate Fantasy Football League 2015 winners and playoff matchups. Okay, I'm going to get this going again. So anyone that played last year, it's always open-ended to any listeners that do listen, that if you like fantasy football, if you want to learn how to play fantasy football, jump in our league. It's cool. It's fun. Everyone's down to earth and cool as fuck, and the shit-talking is ballsy. Like, the shit talking is just fucking great in there. I'll send, you know, emails if you guys need links or stuff like that. We hit an XXSmas gift that looks like a cock, ? And then we hit, okay, I guess I'll go into that real quick. Every Christmas I would buy Adam a present, a gift, and just Merry Christmas. But I always loved the sound of him, you know, like opening something live on air and being like, explain the novel. Tell the audience what the fuck he got. So he was always jazzed about something he got. This wasn't a penis I got him. It was like a small gag gift, which I guess it would be a gag gift. But no, I got him some dope fucking gift on top of that. Don't remember what it was that year, but I was always good about hooking him up with dope shit. We also hit what the fuck news. Pakistani man dies while attempting selfie with moving train. Hashtag runaway train. That makes perfect sense. Texas school reviewing step-by-step cocaine trade assignment. How do you guys feel about that? So any school really. Okay, your assignment today is like, if you were a drug dealer and if I wanted to find drugs, like, you know, possibly if you knew a hookup, who, you know, like, how do you give that out as an assignment? 100 episodes, guys, find that one. I think it was a good one. With Florida man arrested for attempting to break into jail. Yes, it's Florida. We hit Comic Talk, Comic News, Paramount, Hasbro to unite to interconnected universe with G.I. Joe, Micronauts, Rom, Mask, and Visionaries. And I think they've scrapped that, although depending, I guess, where the Bumblebee movie, how well it's perceived, I guess, and how well it does, they might continue on with that, but they had a giant hive mind for that, which was kind of interesting. We hit Captain America gets 75th anniversary special. We hit Star Wars, of course, Awakening takes the title over Jurassic World for movies. So box office opening weekend. And I believe Marvel got it back with Infinity War. Marvel Talk and DC Comics taking titles to bi-weekly. So drops two times. A title will drop two times a month as opposed to just once a month. We hit Comic Reviews, Amazing Spider-Man, number 1.1. We hit We Are Robin, number 7. Robin War Part 4, which that one was. Weird World, which I was reading number 1, which was pretty sick. The Uncanny Inhumans number 3, Silk number 2, Squadron Supreme number 1, and the Comic Syndicate crew heard a movie came out this past weekend. I forget what movie that one was. So 2 years ago is kind of hard to go back. Could have been The Force Awakens. Okay, guys, this is a weird one. I've been writing a lot. Honestly, dude, I am beyond burnt out. Like, I don't like admitting it. As far as physically, I'm good. As far as, like, you're not getting enough sleep, Josiah, or you work too much, Josiah. And then this prepping for this weekend, this beast I have to conquer, which is San Diego Comic-Con. It's a beautiful beast, and yet at the same time, it's a fucking beast. A lot of people don't know that. It is has been a lot of work, dude. And the writing I do alone, on top of the Comic Syndicate, on top of getting this prep, on top of the work I'm doing now for Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, this past week, literally every night, has been sucked up to writing professional emails to people that I'm going to meet and hook up with this weekend. So it's been interesting and very time-consuming and just mentally draining. And I always feel like if my body's strong and my mind's fucking, you know, weak, one can pick up the slack for the other. But if one part of me, both of them are just crushed, it takes a lot out of you. And it happened to me. And this is me walking into day number 1 of Comic-Con tomorrow. So I'm recording this Wednesday night, the 18th, and I can fucking do it. The reviews I'm going to go through, hopefully it makes sense, because I'm like, these hit me really good, and they're going to surprise people. So if you guys don't dig on comics, if you guys just bailed out on comics, definitely listen to my reviews. They're fucking dope, and I took time and to dissect them. So please hang on board for that one. So still, speaking on, I have nothing for San Diego Comic-Con, dude. Like, I was a cherry picker this fucking year, and I'm able to. And then that's when the whole week of headaches came in. Like, a lot of people that, I don't want to say managers, but the leash holders of everyone, that's when they bombard you the most, is the day or two prior to a convention, not a week or two prior. Let's figure it out. Let's schedule this better. No, they fucking hit you up the night before, and even during the convention, throughout the convention, if I'm doing something, they will call me and be like, my boy is ready for an interview. Do you have any free time? It's like, nah, dude, I'm covering this shit. Like, I can be there and like at this time. And the whole back and forth sucks away how fun this comic convention can fucking be. Any convention can be. And Adam and I would always talk sometimes, honestly, like it kind of stops becoming fun. And that's the shitty thing to say. And I'm going to tell you guys my bullet points today and my talking points. It stops becoming fun sometimes because you're working so much. And I do know I work a little bit more than people should work and get very little sleep, less than normal people should get. But it's still okay. Like, I can fucking do it. So, in saying that, I still love the fuck out of it. And it's fucking dope to do. And again, the people I've met and the people we've met are fucking still fucking cool. And I love them. And the listeners that we've had on this podcast, you guys are my fucking friends. Like, legit. Like, I love you guys. And I talk to a lot of you guys. A lot of people don't know you guys. Like, if any of you guys follow me on social media, follow each other, because you guys are all equally fucking dope and badass. And you guys need to know that. Follow the fuck out of each other on Instagram. Find each other, dude. You guys are like-minded, twisted individuals if you're listening to us or listening to the Comic Syndicate. These are my fucking points, dude. Things you love fucking doing, whether it be music, writing, reading, if you love sports, if you love movies, if you love dancing, just go out and fucking do it. Something, anything you're passionate about, just go out and fucking do it. Don't let people bring you down and tell you can't do it. Straight up fucking stick to the grind and follow the fuck what you love doing. I always wore my fucking fandom on my fucking sleeve from the fucking get-go. And I was a fat little fucking kid, 2 feet fucking tall my whole fucking life. I had more reasons to get picked on than like in comics, which honestly back in the day was something you had to fucking hide away in the fucking closet, which is stupid. I say this because this is going to premise into everything, and that's what I'm going to go through. I wore my fucking fandom on my fucking sleeve. I still fucking do. And I never fucking backed down from it back then, and I still fucking don't now. A lot of people have fucking lost that. Back in the day, again, you had to hide it away, and it just wasn't cool. It wasn't cool to be a fucking nerd or into fucking comics. Like, that's a thing. And there are worse things kids are going through now in today's world that we're living in. But that's one of the top things we had to. Like, we had no seatbelts in cars back then. And, you know, people could legit smoke in fucking restaurants. And that's not even the worst thing that was going on back then compared to today's world and society. So this was funny because not brings me to my next bullet point. This was brought up upon by a Facebook post that I put up regarding Avengers Infinity War when it had dropped. And I don't want to spoil the movie for anyone and how that created a huge fucking debate. Like, I kept hearing and seeing so many fucking people bitch and moan about the end of Avengers Infinity War. And I waited a week or two. I think it was 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. I think it was 3 weeks until I finally posted something on Facebook. Like, to all you assholes that keep fucking bitching about the end of the movie, it's like, I read this fucking 20 fucking years ago. And you gotta give it a chance. You know this is part one. So many people that came out and started bitching and crying and complaining was surprising to me, first of all. But their stories at the same time are like, I want to empathize with you, but at the same time, you can kind of fucking eat a dick too because you're the people that stop caring. And now you know about comics. Now it's okay for you to say that you knew about comics or you read comics back then. But again, I always wore it on my fucking sleeve. Like, I have this fucking podcast for a fucking reason. Because you know what? It's still something I give a shit and like, and it's fun to fucking talk about. If you don't believe me, look at all the fucking movies out right now. And the biggest blockbusters are going to be Marvel movies, not superhero movies, because DC movies suck. But I always stayed on and was true to myself and my passion. And that's pretty much where I'm going with point one is, guys, everyone, like, I want this to be... I don't want this to be a preachy episode. It's definitely the first thing from that. This is an encouraging fucking episode. Like, I want to light a fire underneath all your fucking asses. Like, find something you fucking love. And you know what? Write. Read more. Draw it. Paint more. You're like dancing. Go find something. Find something. And make that fucking spark fucking grow. And you know what? Fuck everyone. No one else fucking matters. All that matters is you give a shit about it, and no one can fucking tear you down. So, hence why. Again, the whole podcast, and I fought for it, dude. And honestly, I was very discouraged when we stopped. And I lost my fucking confidence. And that's one thing I have too much of is, yeah, I lost it. And little by little, I'm like, I can fucking do it. I can fucking do it. I can fight. Like, you're a fucking fighter. Don't be a pussy, Josiah. And that's where I'm at now. And I work so much in writing and loving the fuck out of writing. And knowing I'm not a legit writer sucks the most. Like, I think I can write. I want to consider myself a writer. And I'm not a writer. Like, I don't have enough time to write. Go back to novels or writing my scripts again. Would be beautiful. I work too much, yes. And deep dives and rabbit holes, that's a more different type of writing style than I'm used to. But it's a fun one. And that's taking up a little of my time too. But we're banking those up too. RJ and I recorded another episode last night. And just, again, the things that you're passionate about, just go out and fucking do. If you're a DJ, if you're into music, follow that fucking shit. Find something more. Back to the stupid flip of it. no one really gave a shit or much encouragement to start or keep up doing the comic syndicate, minus a handful of you guys. And again, you guys know who you are. And apparently the numbers keep going up. So apparently there are a lot of you guys out there. You guys just don't interact enough. Anyways, I felt like no one gave a shit, which is fine because I don't need that pat on the back from anyone. But when I hang out with my friends or talk to someone and they hit me up randomly and it's like, this was funny. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck does that mean? It's like, yeah, you said that the other day. I'm like, what the heck? Dude, I haven't spoken to you in like a week or two. It's like, no, the fucking tipping episode. It's like, oh, fuck me. And it makes sense. It's a light bulb that goes off in my head, which is fucking hilarious and beautiful, dude. So that's pretty much, I have just bullet points. Simple fucking bullet points. And fuck it, guys. You follow it. Chase it. Fuck everyone. Swing for the fucking fences. No one's going to fucking stop you. The only person that can stop you is yourself, dude. So no self-doubt, no regrets, just fight, keep on fighting, pick your fucking selves up, dude. One of my favorite sayings or quotes would be something like, you know what, sometimes it hurts, sometimes you go out, and sometimes you fail. You really can't win all the time. But those days when you do fucking lose, you go back home, you figure out what you fucking did wrong. You learn from your fucking mistakes. And you go fucking back out. And you go to fucking work the fucking next day. And you do it. And if no matter how long the cycle takes, you keep getting fucking up. And keep swinging for those goddamn fucking fences. No one's going to stop you guys. Sorry about that tangent. But give me another 45 minutes and I can keep going off. This was going to be a short show. I'll be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. And you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comics Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
What's up, guys? I'm back with some comic talk, and you know what? I'm gonna skip fucking comic news completely. Like, there are a lot of them that I fucking jotted down, like 2 pages worth of comic talk, and like, shit, you know, that is going on, and I'm gonna scrap that, but first half is normally something cool to talk about, which is not normally my first half now, and the second half is comic talk, and this is still going to be comic talk because I'm going to go into reviews, and one of these reviews in particular is one of my friends. I don't recall how the conversation came up, and I started describing a comic to her, and she's not of comics, and when I talk to people about comics, and it's like, I normally bail out on comics. It's like, oh, like that you listen to Ready Alone is fucking dope. But my friends, when you guys listen to the whole fucking thing, surprises the fuck out of me. And this is one, it's like breaking down a story and talking about that issue. Single standalone issue I read way back when. I'm like, I need to fucking go into that. Now, this first one isn't going to be that. My first one is going to have to be actually something really new, very extremely current. And it's going to be a Marvel title of all things. I haven't read or reviewed much Marvel. I try to read a little bit of everything. The interviewers I have lined up are mostly DC and Image Comics title people. I think I might meet fucking Jeff Connelly and his wife Rebecca Romaine. Is that his name? Connelly. Anyways, so the first one I review is fucking really dope. And I'm going to dissect these as best I can. And I'm kind of proud on how I wrote these And I always try to paint a picture for you guys. This one's going to be Darth Vader number 18. Charles Soule is the writer. Giuseppe Camuncoli is the artist. Danielle Orlandini and David Curiel are the inkers and colorists. So Vader has been keeping order and maintaining security in the galaxy for the longest time. But now we have NC Governor Wilhuff Tarkin. So, yeah, Governor Tarkin. He's the old man in the, like, the gray suit from the movies, if no one's familiar with him. He has just gained a new position in the New Order. But even with this title, even, you know, the title literally starts off with Tarkin in the Outer Rim. So that's how it starts off. And it's called Chandler's Folly, where we see him in a sort of, like, barracks setup place. Talking about this hunt now that's going on and how it's into the ninth day of this mission. He started off with 20 of his men, and now he's down to 8, where he's now given some binoculars to take a look at his quote-unquote prey. As we see, like just great splash page of – three-page splash page of really sick, jacked-up, beat-up-looking Darth Vader. And he's wearing a cape. And I'm like, holy shit, that cape looks fucking sick. And if you look at the page of Vader, he's beat up. His helmet has a huge fucking dent in it. A few dents in it. His armor, his everything. You can tell he's just been through a fucking lot. And he's got this. He sounds familiar. He has his cape on. And I'm like, that looks fucking odd. It's not his black cape. I'm like, it looks like a dragon's fucking wing. And I'm going to go into that. So it's really cool, dude. It's just really jacked up. He looks beat up, but he looks crazy fucking sick, dude. And then you don't see the details in this panel of how jacked up he really is. But the image that Giuseppe Camuncoli puts out is just gorgeous to see. And the way he is able to blend into the background just looks dope as an art visual. So as Tarkin examines Vader now, he realizes that Vader had to kill this dragon on this planet. And this dragon creature is a tough fucker to kill. It can use its power. It has its power to cloak itself. And he starts singing himself Tarkin. He's like, fuck. Vader would have had to have been really ballsy to have been able to kill that dragon. And he doesn't even have his lightsaber. So it just gets gnarly. And I'm going to tell you guys a scary story. That's pretty much what it is. So now we get the page of his crew. So, and we see Tarkin say the Valiskin would have let him hide. If he chose to, he wants us to see him. To know that he has it. Like, I'm out on a mission too. And you guys are fucking with me. I'm going to kill you motherfuckers. It's just beautiful. And I love Charles Soule as a writer anyways. And this is just fucking dope. So now we get the hunt aspect of everything more so now, which is dope. To see a breakdown of the days of using flamethrowers at Tarkin instead of blasters, since those were useless. And slug throwers, which I don't know exactly what a slug thrower is. I guess I've been at a battlefront for the longest time. But how they surround him, like, day one and torched him up, like, completely torched him up. And how he even felt. Tarkin is like, okay, I'm finding out his weaknesses. And they just torched him. And the scenes that they do to Vader is fucked up. But it was cool because even Tarkin says, like, I felt like he was worried, or even Vader was easy to track. You know, he was a bit hesitant or even scared. Like, Vader, like, realized, like, oh, fuck, these guys have the jump on me. Like, I can normally shoot, you know, blasters, but I don't have my lightsaber and all. It's really cool because now Vader's kind of forced to use his force powers a little more. And he's using now their flamethrowers against them. Not necessarily the flames, but exploding their flamethrowers. Anyway, so now that's where Tarkin learns day one, like, oh, Vader's easy to fucking track. And the whole back and forth between these two characters is fucking dope. Tarkin says, true, his armor is heavy. He leaves signs everywhere he goes. Most importantly, it is if he does not care if he is pursued or attacked. We learned why repeatedly. So now coming up with a new plan, he figured that the best thing to do was to take away his weapon, his lightsaber, which cost Tarkin more men now, which they lost like six guys that like the next few nights, which is fucking dope. So he's like, Tarkin says, not only did it force Vader to adopt new tactics, but it made him angry. In general, enraged prey is easier to destroy. And we get Tarkin's background too, which we have never really gotten. I mean, the movies don't go enough into why is this asshole so high up in the fucking chain of command? And you get it. And you get both of these assholes, which is dope. So now which goes into some legit killer scenes, pages, panels, again, of the fucking hunt. Vader preferring the intimacy of a close kill, but not necessarily needing it. Like, he's also able to kill from a distance because of his force powers, his force choke, which gives Tarkin an idea of how close Vader has to be in order to use it. So now this guy is a hunter tracker, and to take away and to hunt a monster like Vader is gnarly to fucking see. And again, gnarly. Just love it, though. So he says something terrible, and this is all – everything I'm reading is so far Tarkin's inner monologue. He's like, I knew Vader's lightsaber mattered to him. It was the only object toward which I had ever seen him demonstrate any emotion of any kind. So as we hunted him, he hunted us. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful back and forth. And he says, there is no panic. Just a race to escape what we have realized is a kill box. And this is Tarkin saying, like, fuck, I think we bit off more than we can chew off. And it's really interesting because it still gets more interesting. And these panels and most simple acts of violence are so gorgeous to see from Giuseppe Camuncoli, the way he draws this, like, guys, pull up pages, Google fucking Darth Vader number 18, Charles, so, or Giuseppe Camuncoli. It's fucking dope, simple panels, pages, and they're so violent, but so simple, and not like, it's just beautiful, worth reading, guys. And just so much depth behind it. And so as you see him cloaked without, you know, or with this dragon cape now, it's just sick to see how systematically, like, Vader dissects apart this fucking unit. And he's cloaked now, but he's, like, Vader, like, the best way to put it is Vader is a monster, but he's kind of like a horror fucking monster. Like, he is the reason why you fucking turned your lights on. Yes, I'm going to put him up there with Jason Freddy. Like, the way Vader is systematically dismantling and taking apart people is better to read in a comic 28 pages than a fucking 2-hour fucking movie. It's that fucking in depth, dude, on how gnarly it is and beautiful and gorgeous and fucked up, dude. So we see him cloaked now, and Tarkin has even some, like, rodent creatures that can sense Vader and sniff him out, and they can't even sense him anymore. So now Vader has to use tools and different weapons very creatively, which is good and dope to see how Vader would survive. Like, shit, okay, I don't have my lightsaber. I don't need that to kill you. He's just getting creative on how I'm going to kill you. Tarkin finally realizes, like, and this, and it even explains it. He's like, I realize what he must have done. Like, my rodents can't sense him or track him anymore. He's like, Vader deactivated his armor's breathing apparatus. I did not know he could. I have never heard of him without it. I assumed he needed it to survive. And if that is so, if that is the strategy he adopted to get past Sisson's ears, which are the rodents, he's like, then he is dying right now, even as he kills us. So again, like, fucking beautiful fucking monster. I'm going to die, but I'm going to kill you too. Is beautiful to me, and it might sound like so twisted for saying that, but I love it, and it's a great read. As Vader is stalking his last kill now, Tarkin. So Vader does not hurry. Eventually, I will tire and slow and fail to maintain a safe distance. Something really fucking dope happens. It's worth reading, guys. And this title, I know a bunch of you guys are into Star Wars. I want to send a bunch of these copies out to you guys. Like, I want to buy like a fucking at least a dozen and be like, all right, first 12 listeners, which I'm probably going to do, me being stupid me, is first 12 listeners to fucking hit me up, let me know, and I'll send you a fucking copy. And it's on my buck, and I don't give a fuck where you guys live. Shipping and handling is on me, but it's dope, and you guys are going to love it. If you love Sith, if you love Vader, if you like evil, if you like monsters, if you like scary, this is a scary fucking movie. And I loved it. And there's an odd twist. And Tarkin kind of gets the upper hand on these badlands where they're at. He kind of lures Vader into a trap where this part of this planet, it has a high electricity current, and we see a giant electricity bolt take down, shoot through Vader's head, like through his whole fucking body, and he goes fucking down. And then it goes into what it was from the get-go. Vader personally asked Tarkin to hunt him, to prove himself if he could survive, or even like possibly find someone that could finally, I guess, put him out of his misery, dude. I don't know if that's good or bad to say, but this is what I'm getting out of it. This is what I'm saying, like, the way I'm writing it and the way I'm perceiving it, this is the way I'm fucking perceiving it. Like, because if you don't, I'm going to kill you. Like, and regardless, it was just a test for himself, for Vader. Like, he needed to know if he could fucking do it, which I loved it the fuck out of. And it was dope and beautiful and everything so bad. And especially the aftermath. Like, Tarkin finally getting the upper hand. And then Vader finally gets this full body jolt of thunder in this place. Then Vader goes down. And he looks completely dead. And even the things Tarkin is saying, like, okay. We even get worse than that now. Because his fingers start twitching. And then we get one of Tarkin's last scenes. I realize we're both to learn lessons this day. Vader releases me. And I consider the power, the will of this man. His strength is immense, incalculable. And like, Vader is wiped out and left for fucking dead, almost. And Tarkin's like, cool, I beat the unstoppable monster. And Vader just let him know, just with a twitch of his finger, like, I'm still here and I can still kill you. And it was beautiful to me. And that's literally just the comic. That's a single standalone issue. Charles Soule is the fucking man. I love the fuck out of that dude. And I thought it was beautiful and gorgeous. Hopefully you guys like that. That's why I didn't want to say it's going to be a short show. Number one, I guess, review is going to be way longer. And it's really dope. I love the fuck out of this one. And again, one of my friends, the way I was describing it, I'm like, this would be a good deep dive. I'm trying to figure out the sound quality in my hotel room. But again, I'm right by a freeway. So this is going to be an old school read. The Sandman, Volume 2. The Doll's House, Part 4. But this is The Sandman, Number 13. So if this makes sense to you guys. It's called Men of Fortune. This one's written by Neil Gaiman. I believe the artist of this one, and The Sandman wasn't... It was a beautiful fucking title. The world is immense, and it's gorgeous. Michael Zulli, I believe, was the artist on this one, and they always had, like, a incoming and outgoing artist, which happened to match the writing style for which particular story Neil Gaiman wanted to tell of The Sandman, or The Endless, his siblings, at the time, and it was just gorgeous. So this one starts off in England during the 14th century or so, after the Black Death or the Black Plague, with a bunch of men talking of troubled times at a bar. So Death and his sister Dream arrive, where Dream seems if he just really doesn't want to fucking be there, and he just really doesn't want to fucking be there. And his sister tells him, Death tells him, well, at least I get out and meet them. I just think maybe it would be good for you to see them on their terms instead of yours. And this is his sister Death telling Dream this, by the way. And as soon as they walk in, they overhear a man speaking of him saying, knowing death. And like, he's talking about losing his family, his friends, his villagers to the Black Death. And he continues on and he mentions, nobody has to die. As if he's debating with his friend. Actually, that's exactly what he's doing. His name's Hob Gadling. Where now Dream looks over at his sister and asks, it might be interesting. Death's like, very well. Are you going to tell him? or am I? And then they walk into him. Did I hear you say that you had no intention of ever dying? And then this is Sandman, Dream, saying this. And he's like, if that's what you wish, let's meet here again in 100 years. The time during this time has to be like, again, the 14th century, so 1489, around there. And they finally meet each other up. And the first encounter now is 100 years after that. How did you know? Who are you? This is, again, Hop Gadley asking. What are you? Are you a wizard? A saint? A demon? Have I unwittingly made a bargain with the devil? Sandman's like, no. I am merely interested. Death will not touch you, Hop Gadley, unless you truly desire it. So now having conversations of what's happening in those first 100 years, like Hob is telling him, like, you know, he's in a new trade now, especially at the time, I guess. Printing was a big thing. But how funny or ironic is that, that printing was a thing back then? And even these time spans, these time lapses are so fucking dope too. So Sandman asks him, so you still want to live? And Gadlin says, oh, yes. And then Sandman says, 100 years then? And Hobbs says, oh, yes. So, like, you know what? I'm digging life. So that was how my first 100 years went. So it's pretty dope to see them revisit. Actually, even before that, not just these visits, but this revisit for me of an old school fucking title that was beautiful to read back then. And to go back and reread it right now and be like, this is dope. This is fucking beautiful. This is beautiful writing from Neil Gaiman. It is gorgeous. So that I was able to jump back in and again revisit this title after so fucking long is rad. So it comes now to see one of my favorite characters, Morpheus Dream, in Victorian clothes and looking sharp and always with the times. Like, the artist is fucking dope. And even seeing Hob now keeping up with the times as well. And he's like, could you? So now this next 100 years, Hob tells Dream of all his good fortunes he's had, working as a shipyard or working in a shipyard and then investing through that shipyard and then leaving town, then coming back as his son. I mean, you got to think 100 years, like, how would you keep that fake going? And that's pretty much what it is. Like, I left, I went, took off with a full beard, I shaved, and you know what? Fuck, I'm Josias' son. Fucking, what the fuck do I call myself? Peter. I don't even know. I know. Don't say that again. Fuck you guys. So now it's really dope. Now we see, like, buying property and gaining his knighthood, then starting to speak of two other men chatting amongst themselves. And it's really cool because we even get glimpses of, like, young Shakespeare, and it's really cool. So next time, another 100. Actually, no, this is during the same 100 years. Sorry. So they're now. Hob Gadlin is doing great. Another 100 years has passed. They meet again. And this time we see Dream yet again looking sick and just dressed up to the fucking tees, decked out. And this time, though, after this past 100 years, Hob is about to enter the pub and the security won't even let him in anymore because of his clothes, of his scent, and it's like a higher-end club, and he's almost like a fucking bum now for the most part. And Dream finally speaks up and says, let him be, he is my guest. And then Hob says, I knew you'd be here. Do you know how hungry a man can get if he doesn't die but doesn't eat? And then we get Hob goes off about losing his wife, losing his son at 2 years old, having the village he was living in trying to kill him because that village at the time thought he was a witch. And now how his life just keeps getting worse and worse. And telling Dream how much he's really hated the past 80 years of the past 100 years of his life. So Dream now asks, and do you still wish to live? Do you not seek the respite of death? And then Hob says, are you crazy? Death is a mug's game. I have so much to live for. So that stops there. Next 100 years now. Hob tells Dream of another new job. So now We see them in another page. And again, they're both looking sharp for the times. Every 100 years, how would you guys dress? You guys would have to dress for the time. And we get Hob telling him what he's up to now. And Death says, after Hob has told him what he's doing now, Dream says, "You take pride in treating your fellow humans as less than animals." And then Hob says, "It's, like I said, it's a living." So now during the whole slave trade, that's what Hobbes is up to now. And the fact that Neil Gaiman can write something so powerful, so simply, and not overlook the obvious is so fucking dope, guys. Again, this is another single issue that you don't have to read with the whole volume. So if you see the panels of this conversation, we come up some men sneak in now, hired by a woman to kill and rob these two. Her name's Johanna Constantine, where something interesting happened as Dream uses his powers finally and very subtly says, "Is the poor thing to enslave another? I would suggest you find yourself a different line of business." Talking to Hobbes now. He's like, as a friend now. So now as they're leaving this place, as they're almost jumped, they're almost attacked, they're almost fucking robbed. It's really cool. They talk about... this next encounter is like, oh, was that last person we saw 100 years ago? Yeah, more of them have been popping up. These people can't fucking die either. And they go off telling each other names of, okay, that's that person, that's that person, that's that person. And I saw, it's just fucking dope, dude. I forgot about this part. Hobbes now, after this 100 years now, Hobbes is like, you know, I think I know why we meet here, century after century. It's not because you want to see what happens when a man doesn't die. You've seen what happens. I doubt I'm any wiser than I was 500 years back. I'm older. This is Hobbes. I've been up and I've been down and I've been up again. And I've been back and forth. Have I learned aught? I've learned from my mistakes, but I've had more time to commit more mistakes. You were right about the slave trade. I can never make restitution for that. You observed all that, but you knew that from the start. I think you're here for something else. And then Dream's response. Sandman's response. Again, Dream. Morpheus. And what might that be? Hal says, friendship. I think you're lonely. And this is kind of sad and fucked up. And it's beautiful because, rereading this, when I read it in high school compared to now... That's 20 fucking years ago, and it was beautiful to me back then, so to revisit this was like just a huge thank you, and this is why I want to share this review. And guys, if you guys have friends, like, this is fucking dope, dude. He gets fucking pissed, dude. Dream responds, you dare imply that I befriend a mortal, that one of my kind might need companionship. You dare to call me lonely. Hobbes is like, yes, and he's scared. Yes, I do. Tell you what, I'll be here in another 100 years of time. If you're here too, it'll be because we're friends. No other reason, right? And he can tell, like, Hobbes is fucking sad. Like, dude, you're my boy. Like, you can't be enough, right? And Sandman walks away fucking pissed. Like, fuck this guy. Like, Sandman was fucking pissed. And it's dope to see. So now we see 100 and more years go by, and you can easily tell it's in the fucking 80s now, which is fucking dope, because guess what? I grew up in that era, that time, and it's really cool because Hobbes is, like, about to smoke a cigarette in this cheesy fucking lounge club or whatever that – or disco club, probably not even disco. But really cool, and he kind of gets bummed out. He starts his cigarette, and now we see him, again, Hobbes smoking – alone, by himself. And Hobbes is like, I wasn't sure you'd be coming. Dream answers, and he's got, like, just a black shirt, black t-shirt, a black leather jacket. And again, with the times, we see Dream looking like fucking a member of the fucking Cure. Dream says, really? I've always heard it was impolite to keep one's friends waiting. Would you like a drink? And that's how that comic fucking ends. And beautiful and lovely, and I have friends like that. Pablo, I fucking miss you. Adam, I always fucking miss you. Val, Bobby, like, I love you fucking guys. Daniel, Vanessa, dude, you guys' family, I fucking love the fuck out of you guys. Because I don't see you guys. As much as I want to doesn't mean I care any fucking less. So that was a good, I don't know, a good venture back into the things that I'm passionate about and why I'm passionate about. It doesn't have to be about kicking people in the teeth all the fucking time. It's simple, grounded writing from someone that can write literature. Even though comics aren't considered literature, you know what, guys? A lot of you guys would be wrong if you think otherwise. It's beautiful fucking writing. And, yeah, fuck it. Those were my deep dives on fucking two comics. Speaking of deep dives, fuck. Yeah, subscribe to the podcast anywhere you guys can find. Hit us up, please. I think I'm fucking over it. I think that went off on a weird little zone trip there. Just describing those two. But those are the ones I love the fuck out of this week. It wasn't going to be a short show. It's San Diego Comic Con episode, so I don't even know what the fuck I'm going to call this episode. But I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you guys do like the show, share the fucking podcast, dude. Like, I don't know what to bring anymore. I don't have anything to bring anymore except myself and fucking balls to the wall Josias. And I don't know who thanks, guys, for listening. But again, share the podcast more than anything. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find fucking podcasts. Rate us, but again, share it more than anything. You guys can find me at ForTheVillain on Twitter, at Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. I think I'm at Simple_Man80 on Snapchat. So if you guys need me, hit me up. And yeah, I miss you guys. I do love you guys, even though I don't see you guys or talk to you guys as much as I would love to. I'm short on time, and I feel like Vader, and I feel like I want to be Hobbs too at the same time, or Dream. All right, guys, thanks for listening. Catch you guys next week. Peace out.